You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
Yes, this is the last part of our message, and it is the last corner of that triangle that we're talking about. The first part of that is husbands, is regarding the husbands, which says, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. That was our first message, and our take home was biblical love emanates from God through Christ, to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our families. Then the second week, we talked about wives submitting to their husbands as to the Lord. Now, we said that biblical submission emanates from God to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our families. Today, we'll be talking to the children. It says, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. And our take home would be biblical obedience emanates from God to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our families. Imagine that I'm only changing, the word love, submission, and obedience, because everything, is connected to the center, who is Jesus Christ. Again, when we talk about family, we'll be reminded of this, the family triangle. Let's show that triangle here right now. Is it there? 1, 2, 3, go. That's it. Okay, we see the triangle, it is illustrated from Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6. There you have it, the equilateral triangle. All sides equal, that means to say equally submitted to one another, but equally submitted to Christ who is in the center. It was also used by the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, which was used by the Lord Jesus Christ as a semblance of the family, which is, he loved the family, he loved the church. That's why the bottom line of his love is agape love, giving everything for the church. That's why families, members of the families do that, because our pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so in saying, obedience is a primary command. That is, as we have read a while ago, it is the first commandment, but it is a primary commandment. It's not actually the first commandment with a promise attached to it, but it is the primary commandment to children. Who among you are children here? I'm raising my hand. I was not tayo, di ba? Every one of us will be a son or a daughter to our family, but of course, when we have our own family, You know, part of our families would be our sons and our daughters. Obedience is a primary command to children with a promise attached to it. Then they will say, the Bible says, they will enjoy prosperous and abundant long life here on earth. You want to live long? Children, you want to live long, an abundant and a prosperous life long here on earth? Then there is that command, obey. And of course, together with that is loving, obeying, honoring, and serving your parents. Okay, obedience is a command stronger than the word submit. We learned about the word submission when we talked about the wife submitting to the husband. But, obedience is a greater, farther, stronger command than submit. Because obedience is an implicit and unreasoning word. Implicit po siya, obey. No ifs and no buts, but just obey. Sabihin niyo obey. Let's say it, obey. Okay, now, when God says obey, it is flowing from His own obedience, because we know that in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the Father. God the Father, when He was here on earth, Jesus Christ in human form, obeyed everything, and He was always subservient to the Father. So because of what? Because of the love that emanates from the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that love is shown to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the agape love that he has portrayed on the cross when he says, I'm dying for you, I'm dying for your sins. And he did that for us. That's agape love. Though we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. Though we are unlovable, yet love, the love of God, we've experienced it because Jesus Christ is love himself. Now, having said that, the motivating power for us to love one another, most especially for parents loving their children and for children loving their children, or for parents loving their children, is the love of God. Amen? Can we say amen to that? Amen. You're not able to know or experience the love of God, then you're not able to give what you don't have. Come on. We're not able to give what we don't have. So that when we experience the love of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, then we're able to give and give that love in submission, give that love in a sacrificial love, in a serving love, because the love of God is residing in us. Now, Jesus showed this example of love and obedience when he was here on earth. Why? Because we've seen he grew up with his parents. His earthly parents were Joseph and Mary. Of course, Joseph was had only been mentioned to be, he lived a short life. But, you know, in that time that he was in the family, the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to them. The Lord Jesus Christ was subjected to them. We remember that there was an issue when Jesus Christ was with the parents going to the feasts, and Jesus Christ, was left in the temple. They thought that Jesus Christ was lost, and after a few kilometers of going home, Mary and Joseph said, "Where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you." He's nowhere to be found. I remember this experience when we had our son. I'll be talking about him for a while because his name is Blessing, but his name is really Junior. He's Edgar Allen Bacani Jr. That's my name. I'm senior. But we call him Blessing. That's how God has given us his name, Blessing. Okay, I'll explain that to you. But when he was kind of 3 years old, we were just window shopping here in Ali Mall. Who among you knows where Ali Mall is? Loos na kasi, luma na kasi. But it's renovated now. It's a new mall now. But it was trivia. It was named after the boxer Muhammad Ali. Yeah, Muhammad, we thought before when it was being built that Muhammad Ali owned it because it's Ali Mall. But me and my wife were in the mall, and we went to at the basement where the grocery is. And I don't know what happened that, you know, our son, our only son then, was with us. And we forgot. I just, you know, walking around. And when I met my wife, I said, "Where's Blessing?" She said, "I thought he was with you." "No, he was with you." No, where is he? So, you know, we were frantic that we lost our child. We lost our only son. Then we started looking. Did you see this 3-year-old kid wearing this, wearing that? And suddenly my wife was in near that partition in the grocery, and she heard, what's that? He said, she heard something like, "Hiya, hiya, hiya." It was my son. He was trying to make riding a horse. He said, "Hiya, hiya." And it was my son. So we were in a verge of tears when we found him. You know, Joseph and Mary were experiencing that when they lost Jesus Christ. They thought they lost Jesus Christ, but when they found out that he was in the temple, and what was he doing? He was, you know, listening to learned men and the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he was explaining things to them. They were so amazed. That's why when the parents, Joseph and Mary, asked Jesus, "Son, what happened? Why did you do this to us?" And he says, "I'm about doing my father's business." He was now talking about not his earthly father, not his earthly stepfather and earthly mother of Jesus, Mary, but he's now talking about his heavenly father, God the Father himself. Obedient when he was here on earth. Jesus showed that obedience by being responsive not only to his parents, but responsive to the Father who is always with him. Now, I would like to apologize to our foreign brethren here. And, because I cannot, I was, you know, I was breaking my head trying to translate this illustration. But sorry, it's only for those who understand Tagalog. Is it okay, sir? Ma'am, is it okay? There were lots of foreign guests here, foreign brethren coming from our locality here. But let's just see this, huh? Let's just see this. Probably somebody could explain it to them. And hirap po English nito eh. Let's see that, the letter. A letter from Tay and Nay. Okay, let's read it. Dear anak, this letter from tatay. Naipadala na namin yung 50,000 na pambayad sa tuition mo sa second sem. Ipinagbili na yung kalabaw natin. Ang mahal pala ng Counter-Strike na kursong kinuha mo. Wala na rin tayong baboy na ipagbili na rin para sa sinasabi mong project. Yung bang Nokia N5. Anak, ang mahal naman ng project na yan. Di ba? Then says, kasama ng pinadala namin yung baon mo para sa field trip mo sa Mall of Asia. Malayo ba yun? Bakit ang mahal din? Isinanla na namin yung palayan para mabili namin ang instrumento mong iPad video. Napailaw nyo na nga ba yung pinagpupuyatan yung San Miguel lights? Sana mag-graduate ka na at makaraos na tayo sa hirap at mabayaran na natin ang mga utang at mabawi ang bukirin natin. Love and kisses, Tay and Nay. Sino sa inyo ang gumawa niyan? Taas ang kamay. Ayaw tumas yung kamay ko, pero kailangan ko itaas ang kamay ko. Alam niyo, sometime in the past, it was not me. But part of it, you know, I did when I was studying. I would pad my tuition fee. I will pad the tuition fee. I'll add on to the tuition fee and say to my mom, "Mom, this is what I'll be paying." Then I have an add on of a few hundreds of that, so it'd be for my movie thing and my other things. But you know what? This letter is a reality to many people today, because the children were not really trained in the word. When I was doing silly things and, you know, hurting my parents indirectly, I was not a Christian. Yes, I was religious. My friends, we don't need religious husbands, religious wives, and religious children. We need relationships. And relationships centered on the one we have a best, beautiful relationship with, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So that, pakialis na nga po yung sulat. Yan. Sipin mo yun, no? I think they understood it. They're smiling. Of course, the other foreign guests, foreign brethren, bahala na kayo sa buhay niyo po. Okay. Ganun lang talaga yan. Ganun lang talaga. Now, let me start with a word to the parents. It is a solemn obligation of parents like me to give their children instruction and correction that belongs to a Christian upbringing. Remember that we are Christians. Say to the one next to you, "You are a Christian." Or ask the one next to you, "Are you a Christian?" No, I'm just joking. We are Christians. So when we bring up our children, it should be the Christian way of upbringing them. Parents should be examples of Christian life. That's what we've seen in the bumper video. You know, he was watching his father doing things for mom. He was watching the parents doing, you know, loving each other, so that when he went to school, you know, he was doing the things also that he showed his mom, his father and mom doing. You know, we will be examples of that to our children. Caring our children, spiritual life first and foremost, before our jobs, profession, and social standing. My friends, children, if you're a parent, your children are priority in your life. Not your career, not your job, not your social standing, huh? Not your golf, not your tennis. Your children are most important to you if you're a parent. Now, if you're a parent today, let me start this with just saying, reading part of the word in Psalm 127. I think if this is in the PowerPoint, but if it's not, it's okay. I'll just look at it in my Bible here. Okay, it's found in Psalm 127, verse 1 up to verse 5. Yeah, it's there, verse 1. Can you start it to verse 1? Is it there? Voila. Okay, verse 1. It says, "If the Lord does not build a house, then those who build it will work in vain. If the Lord does not guard a city, then the watchman stands in vain. It is vain for you to rise early, come home late, and work hard for your food." Yes, he can provide. God can provide for those who love him even when they sleep. Wow. And verse 3 says, "Yes, sons are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Sons born during one shoot are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. They will not be put to shame when they confront enemies in the city gate." Of course, sons and daughters, okay? Now let me just glean some things from those verses. Number one is children are a heritage and a reward. Who among you loves to get your inheritance? Huh? If you're a son or a daughter, if you are will be receiving a great inheritance, you're excited to receive that. But you know, you will not receive that until your parents are gone. Or probably you could receive part of it, even if they're alive, they will allow you to do that. Children are a heritage and a reward. I go back to the story of my son. We were married in 1977. As most of you know, our anniversary is 7/7/77. Wow, galing, no? July 7, 1977. Hindi po namin sinadya yun. It was just there. Oh, 7777. Oh, okay. Yeah. Swerte. We were not Christian then. Aren't we? We were not. Yeah, we were not Christian then. But 1 year, 2 years, almost 3 years lapsed, and we did not have children. No reward, no inheritance. Yes, just the two of us. So that the family is not complete. Yes, I love my wife very much. I know that she loves me very much then. But you know what? When there are no children, it's incomplete. I would say it's incomplete. So what we will do is, we're not Christian. Remember, we're not Christian then. So what we'll do is we will enjoy life, the two of us. Before these places are very famous, like the names are discos. Yes, we'll go to discos, and if you remember what's his name, he's the good dancer of the discotheque before. He has a movie. Senior citizen na po, nakalimutan ko pangalan, ha? John Travolta, come on, bro! You must be 60 years old also, John Travolta. So I'll be doing John Travolta in the dance floor and sipping my wife and the liquor that is served to us. Then after that, enjoying ourselves together in a discotheque, then we'll go home. Both of us are drunk. That's how we enjoy life, without God and without children. But you know what? At the end of the third year, something happened to us. We got born again. The Lord Jesus Christ entered our lives. We've invited Him as our Lord and Savior. And that diametrically changed our life. Amen. Did that happen to you or not? Okay, that happened to us. That's why I'm here today standing with you, declaring my testimony, our testimony, and preaching the Word of God, because that was the start when God touched our lives. And we did not have children. So the very first thing, when my pastor said, we just got born again, you know, that day, probably the next Sunday, or probably that day, the first day, he said, "Can I pray for you? What do you want to be prayed over?" And he said, "Oh, we don't have any children. Can you pray for us to have children?" And the pastor prayed for us, and yes, we hang on to that prayer. And we said, "Lord, thank you for, you know, giving us children by answering that prayer." You know, a few weeks, he did not only give us one son, but he gave us two sons. One instantly, and the other one was a year after. I will tell that story sometime. Mahaba po istorya. Hindi tayo matatapos. Magagalit na naman sa akin. Time's up. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that son, the second son, who was in the womb of my wife, when she was about six and a half months, you know, she was threatened to have an abortion. Threatened. So I brought her to the hospital, and the doctor says, you know, it's really threatening that you might lose this baby. Then after a while, the doctor came back and they said, "You know, I'm sorry, Mr. Bakani, that we don't hear any heartbeat. We don't see any life inside that womb." So I said, "This is impossible. This is impossible," because my pastor was there. Our pastor was there. He's an American pastor. Thank God for American pastors, you know. Our first pastor were American pastors. And he said, "No, Ed, I'm standing with you, both of you. Let's declare and thank God that this will not happen, because He has given you this answer to your prayer." And I said to the doctor, "No, we are not accepting that. We're praying that this son will be a healthy baby." So, well, of course, the doctors cannot do anything, because that's our decision. But the next day, the doctor was very close to us, said, "You know, he's like a mother to me." The doctor is like a mother to me. He said, "You know, son, you'll really have to decide on this, because the health and the life of your, not only of the baby, but your wife is in danger already. Because when the fetus is dead in that womb, then your wife is in danger of being poisoned already. So you have to decide." So I was in the verge of, What will I do? Then again, thank you for spiritual family. Wow. The church is there. My spiritual family was there. And they were saying, "Come on, let's pray. Let's bind our faith together and say, let's storm heaven and say, and thank God that there will be life, that there will be healing." Third day. Wow. Third day, somebody, a doctor friend, visited my wife in that room. And she was she's a doctor, so she started looking at, not with the instruments, but holding the tummy of my wife. And she was surprised. I said, "It moved." "Whoa, doctora, you're joking." "No, it moved." "Hey, it again moved." "You're joking." You know, man of little faith. A man of little faith. I thought she was joking. But she's not. They started, you know, the whole hospital started to go nuts. And they say, "Come, get the instruments, get this and get that." And they started, "It's moving. There's a heartbeat. I see that." Wow. I said, "God, thank you. I doubted, like Thomas, but now thank you, God, that this child is alive. So you notice that why is the name Blessing up to today? We're calling him Blessing. It is because he's really a blessing to us. Now he has also a son and a daughter. Lovely, lovely. We are a grandparent of three, actually. Okay. My story is long, but, you know, it's part of what I would like to impart to you today. A word to parents. Children are a heritage and a reward. God has rewarded us when we prayed for one, said, Lord, even for one, give us one. And God gave us two. And now God gave us three. And now gave us what? Three plus four is what? Seven. Yes, of course, our daughters-in-law, yeah? Two sons, two daughters-in-law, and our three grandchildren. Makes it seven. It's now 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. Wow. I'm not into numerology. Excuse me. Nothing mystical about that. Nothing mystical about that. It just so happened that it went that way. They are a heritage from God. So love our children. Nurture them. Teach them. 10 minutes already. Wow. Children are a blessing. You know, it says in Psalm 127 verse 5, you know, blessed is he who has sons, who has, you know, who has children, and his loins quiver with them. Sabi po, no? Those, a man quiver full of them. Wow. Diba? Sons, children are also like arrows. Okay, verse 4. Plus verse 4, bro. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons and our daughters born in one shoot. Now, let's just go faster here. An arrow has, you know, a process of making an arrow. Who among you already saw an arrow? Ha? Yung pana. O, yung bala lang pana. Ha? Yung bala. Hindi yung, what do you call it? Bow and string, then you have an arrow. Now, making an arrow is, you have about five processes in doing and making that arrow. Of course, if you make it the old school way. The old school way is you take a twig, you take a branch, remove the twig and leaves. Then, secondly, you have to strengthen with your hands or with pegs, huh? Strengthen the branch. Then, thirdly, you have to sand it, work on the rough edges, sharpen the point, and then you have to shoot it in the target. Yeah. Now, those processes, we could see also, stripping is like remove the bad habits and attitudes. Straightening is like establishing boundaries and discipline for our children. Sanding to smooth is working the rough edges of his character, of their characters. Sharpen the point, teach them life skills. This is very important for their success. That they will, when they grow up, you know, they have taught, because you have shown them, not only told them, but showed them, huh? Sharpen the point, then shoot to target. Release them to fulfill their destiny. You got it? Huh? Are we okay with regards to that? Huh? So when children are said to be like arrows, this is what God is telling us. That they are very precious, yet they are deadly if they are not shoot to the right destiny. Hello? Yes. If they are not prepared rightly, they are deadly. Because if you are shooting an arrow which is curved, it will not go to the target. Am I right? Yes? Okay. If you're shooting an arrow which is not really done well, then it will not go to its own target. And that is destiny, my friends. That's why here in church, we are very, very serious about our children. That's why when we are here in church, here, adult church, there is kids church there. Because we don't undermine children. Right now, they're having church. Right now, they're doing their thing. They're hearing the word of God. Hearing the pastors preach. Giving their tithes and offering. Why? Because we would like to fulfill in them the destiny that God has envisioned for them. Hello? Yes, we can do that as parents. Now let's go to the children. Sabi niya, tagal naman, 10 minutes lang eh. Wala pa yung children. Ito na po. Yan, word to children. Now, the word is the big letter O. Make this sign. Okay? That's the big letter O. Obedience. Obedience, number one, to our children. If you're a child here, if you're a son or a daughter here, is still with your parents, this is for you. Pakitaas niya ang kamay. Those that are children here, you're still with your parents? You're still? Yes. Okay, madami yan. Obedience is, number one, is hearing. Huh? Yan. You remember, our parents, as parents, you know, it prostrates us when you call your son or you call your children and say, hey, could you do this? Hello, can you? Then they're not, no reaction from them. Because even though they have ears, they have ears. Kapampangan kasi, pari. Kapampangan kanya, ears. Ears, they have ears, but they're not wanting to listen. That's why obedience is first hearing. Now, children, hear the word from your parents. Hear the word from the word. Hear the word from the preaching in church. Hear the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience is hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hearing is perceiving the real meaning of life. When you hear right, you are perceiving the real meaning of life. But when you hear wrong, then you will perceive the wrong things in life. Hearing will determine your values and attitudes. Huh? Hearing will determine your values and attitudes. Because if you have a bad attitude, that means to say you heard badly. Huh? You heard badly. I have a story, but I will not tell it because of lack of time. Hearing will also spur your faith. When you hear the words of God, when you hear the promises of God, it will spur the faith of children. It will also spur the faith of parents. Why? Because, you know, the common denominator there is hearing the truth. Now, the truth is the word. Say the word. Hearing the word, it will spur faith. And that is obedience is hearing. Number two, obedience is honoring. You know, children, honor your parents. Honoring means respecting, obeying, and that is honoring. It is also has a dimension of serving your parents. Honoring is being respectful to your parents, respecting them. Yeah, you could call them bro. If you're a Christian son, call them bro, but call them dad. Call them mom. Love you. I don't know. It's not our culture, but sometimes I hear people calling their parents by first name. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's a joke, but sometimes it's a habit already, just calling by name. But respecting parents, honoring is taking responsibility wholeheartedly. When you do your thing in the home, you know, everyone has a designated responsibility. When you do that as a child, as part of the family, then you have to be doing it wholeheartedly, because the Bible says, whatever you do, do it for what? For God. Amen. Okay, the earthly reflection of God, the earthly reflection of God to children are we, parents. Honoring is blessing your parents. I'm now 63 years old. And we're not banking on the support of our children. But yet, thank God, because their hearts are, you know, molded in the Word, that, you know, They're doing that wholeheartedly. You know, of course, not all the support, but, you know, even just these small things like this. Mom, this is for you. Dad, this is for you. Because they loved us. They love us. And we love them. Children, see that. Bless your parents. Don't say, Mom, I'm out of here because I already have my family, and please don't bother us, because the Bible says, I will leave you, father and mother, and cling to my wife, and bye-bye. Well, some children will be like that. They will not remember anymore their parents even calling them or even just texting them would be a hassle to them. Please, children, if you're a child, if you're a child here, honor your and bless your parents. That's honoring. Obedience is also heritage. I'll end with this. Whoever and whatever we are today as children or as persons are part and parcel pieces of who our parents are. You know that? Huh? Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1. This is always repeated to us by parents. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Yeah. A good name. That's why most of us parents or all parents would be saying, you know, we're just giving you this education. We're giving you our good name so that, you know, you continue that legacy. The good name and the education that we give you. And that's all. You can go through life by that. Because, you know, obedience is heritage. Heritage is hinged on integrity. Whatever they see you do, parents, whatever your children see you do, they will do it also. Because, you know, heritage, it is hinged in the integrity or disintegrity of what you do. Hello? Do you understand that? Do we understand that as parents? Well, I will not say to my son, it's bad for you to drink beer. But when he sees, open the ref and he sees beer there, whose beer is this? That's dad. Don't touch it. Don't dare touch that. Then, you know, words are just words. And they will not be converted into, you know, a lifestyle. Heritage is a mirror and a mentor. When we see obedience is a heritage, they will look upon themselves and they will see parents. They will see dad and mom in their lives. You know, today at this my age, one day I was looking at the mirror after my shower. You know, when after my shower, I'm in my birthday clothes. You know that? Hindi nyo alam, no? Okay. E nakahubot-hubad po ako eh. Yeah, after shower. Kayo, ganun ba? O baka naman nakatuksido kayo pa after shower. I was looking at myself in the mirror. I said, wow, look like my dad. White hair, you know, bulging something there. Look like my dad. I don't know about you, but it's me. You look into the mirror and you see part and parcel of who your parents are. Heritage is a valued possession. Wow. Even though, you know, so many things will pass in their lives. Children, so many things will pass through your lives. But yet that heritage of the parents that was given to you, that was imparted to you, will be a valued possession. Finally, in everything about this, our families, biblical love, submission, obedience is emanating from one. And that is the love of God in us. Finally, let's see this illustration. See, that's a triangle. Equally submitted to one another. Husband is on top of the triangle. Wives is in the a little farther. But it is a second level. Then children are there on that lower part. But it is an equilateral triangle. Wives submit to husband. Be submitted to the husband. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, children, obey your parents. Honor them and bless them. Then wives, husbands, parents, teach and nurture your children. It is a equilateral triangle. All things equal and all things at its own order. Okay? We said that if you break that order, something is wrong. Hello? You break that order, something is wrong. Because there will not be continuity. Hello? Nasusundan po ba ninyo ko? Pag nabali po yung isang paan yan, may problema pamilya. Kanya nga, naglalayas yung anak, nagiging talipandas yung asawa, di ba? O nagkakaroon ng problema sa pera, problema sa mga biyanan, di ba? Yeah? Napuputol eh. Pero pag tama po yung order na yan, and finally, you see there, when we saw that triangle in a plane, we saw Christ is in the center. Yes. That's good. But when we see it in perspective, this is what I mean when I say Christ must be in the center. In everything, Christ is on the top. Everything, Christ is risen up. He's there at the top. And everyone is submitted to Christ as Christ is the center of everything, center of our families.